لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome to another episode of series Self-Reformation. The beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, Whoever sends salat upon me 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening, he will receive my intercession on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani channel, we all know that Islam is a complete code of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the glorious Quran upon the most beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and has himself taken the responsibility to protect it from any kind of changes, any tahreef from it. If we read Quran and the tafsir of Quran, we'll be amazed of all the things that are mentioned in the Holy Quran. I strongly recommend reading Tafsir Siratul Jinan by Mufti Qasim Dawat Barakatum Ali of Dawat Islami. It is such an easy tafsir that is very easy to understand. The deeper one dives in the Holy Quran, the more pearl of wisdom one attains. The Holy Quran is a glorified and highly dignified book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which there are rulings pertaining to halal and haram, quotes of advice and admonition, the incidents and parables of the Anbiya Ikram alayhi salatu wasalam and those of previous ummas, and the details about paradise, Jannat and Jahannam. On the other hand, comprehensiveness of the meaning of Quranic ayah is like an ocean of knowledge and cognition that cannot be explored completely till the day of judgment. Therefore, whilst mentioning the great comprehensiveness of the Holy Quran, the beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, the Islamic scholars will never be satiated whilst exploring the Quranic subjects. It will not become tattered after being recited again and again, and the strange and miraculous topics of the Holy Quran will never end. Allahu Akbar. In this context, Sayyidina Ali Khawas radiallahu ta'ala has mentioned that no doubt Allah Azza wa Jal blessed me with the understanding of the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha, by virtue of which 140,999 sciences were disclosed to me. Similarly, Imam Sha'rani rahmatullahi ta'ala has mentioned in his book entitled Mizan, he says that my brother Afzaluddin has derived 247,999 sciences from Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين My dear viewers of Madani channel, these are few ayahs. And Imam Sha'rani rahmatullahi ta'ala says that his brother Afzaluddin has derived 247,999 sciences only from Surah Fatiha. One can imagine the ocean of knowledge that Quran contains. It becomes quite obvious from these reports that although the Holy Quran is apparently a compilation of 30 parts, but internally it is such a treasure of billions of sciences and wisdom that can never be quantified. Following is a famous couplet of an eminent Sufi. He says, All knowledge and all information is available in the Holy Quran, but people's intellect is not capable to comprehend it. Conclusively, right, the information in the Holy Quran is not limited only to the science and laws, but reality is that it contains details about the whole universe and each and every existing thing in the universe. The Holy Quran comprehensively explains about each and every star of the sky, each and every drop of ocean, each and every thing of the earth, each and every sand grain of desert, each and every leaf of trees, each and every aspect of divine throne and the kursi, each and every corner of the universe, each and every event of the past, each and every issues of the present, and each and every incident in the future. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says in the Holy Quran, مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We have left out nothing in this book. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers of Madani channel, Quran teaches us how we as a believer should lead our lives successfully. When we talk about self-reformation, it basically means to lead a life according to Sharia. It means to lead a life in which we are successful in this dunya and the hereafter. By the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are blessed with iman. And hence, the one with iman is called mu'min. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast on iman. Ameen. My dear viewers of Madani channel, in this glorious book, Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to us. There are about 89 places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. O the one who believe. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When someone asked him to give advice, to give them nasiha, he stated that whenever you heard the words in Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, then focus all your attention to it. Because whenever the words Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu are mentioned in Quran, you will find that either you have been ordered for some kind of goodness or being stopped from bad. Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi ta'ala has stated that Allah Kareem has mentioned us by saying Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. However, when Jews were mentioned in Torah, they were mentioned as masakeen. The point here to understand is that there is an honor and blessing given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He calls us Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. O the one who believe. The point here to understand is that there is an honor and blessing when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us by saying Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. O the one who believe. The one who believe are the ones with iman. Iman also means to adopt such things that protects one from the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the attributes or name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mu'min. Scholars have said that this means giving iman to people and after providing the blessing of iman, saving them from the punishment. Iman is one of the greatest ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman and has called us with these beautiful words, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi ta'ala says that Allah has given us a name of respect and honor in this dunya. And on the day of judgment, with the barakat of this name, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us from Jahannam and will give us honor and respect amongst people. My dear viewers of Madani channel, iman is a huge blessing. And all the blessing that we just discussed are for those who is successful and protecting his iman from shaitan and is able to take his iman with him in his qabr. Throughout the Holy Quran, my dear viewers of Madani channel, we'll find ayahs that tell us about the qualities of a mu'min. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِندَ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Only they are believers whose heart fear when Allah is remembered and when His verses are recited upon them, their faith increases and who trust only in their Lord. Those who keep salah established and spend some in our path from what we have provided for them. Only these are true Muslims. For them are ranks with their Lord and His forgiveness and honorable sustenance. My dear viewers of Madani channel, this was the ayah from part 9, Surah Al-Anfal, verse number 2, 3, and 4. In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned three spiritual and inner attributes of Muslims, as well as two physical and financial virtuous deeds. And these bondsmen of Allah Almighty have been declared true Muslim. Glad tidings of three rewards have also been given to them. First, high rank in the divine court. Second, good news of forgiveness from the Allah Almighty. And third, glad tidings of honorable and respectable sustenance. According to some commentators of the Holy Quran, this is a beautiful relation between these deeds and glad tidings. Number one is divine fear at the time of remembrance of Allah Almighty, increase in the power of faith at the time of reciting the Holy Quran, and closeness to the divine court in return for trust in Allah. And salah will lead to forgiveness, as it is a means of forgiveness of sins. Moreover, for spending in the divine path, honorable sustenance will be granted in paradise, in Jannah. The first attribute of Muslim mentioned in this verse is that they feel fear in their hearts when Allah is remembered. There are two types of divine fear, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. Fear of punishment of Allah, and two is fear from the majesty, greatness, and absolute independence of Allah. Common Muslims and common pious individuals have the first type of fear, meaning fear the punishment of Allah. Whereas the blessed Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, perfect friends of Allah and highly ranked angels have the second type of fear. The more a person is close to the divine court, the more he fears. The beloved and the blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated that amongst you, I fear Allah the most, and I have the ma'rifah, that is the recognition of Allah the most. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, divine fear, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a great wealth, is a great ni'mah. The revered and renowned Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, if a tear wells up in the eye of a Muslim bondsman due to the fear of Allah, and no matter equivalent to the head of a mosquito, and then the tear rolls down the front part of his cheek, Allah makes hellfire haram for him. Allahu Akbar. Those who have closeness in the divine court experience overwhelming condition of fear due to the greatness of Allah Almighty. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala once saw a bird sitting on a tree, and he said, O bird, how good it is for you. You eat the fruit and sit on a tree. If only I were also a fruit that birds would eat. Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala had immense fear of Allah. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala once picked up a splinter from the ground and said, if only I were a splinter. If only I were nothing. If only I were not born. If only I were a forgotten person. The second attribute of true Muslim described in the ayah is the power and spiritual luminosity of their faith increases when they hear the words revealed by Allah Azza wa Jalla. The Holy Quran is the word of Allah Almighty, is the Kalamullah. Therefore, those people whose hearts are not sealed find the luminosity of Quran penetrating their hearts, spreading spiritual light. Those individuals whose hearts are not like an infertile piece of land are blessed with the rain of Quranic guidance, producing the flower of faith and perfuming their inner selves. This is the reason why the companionship of Islamic saints, scholars, and the pious change the feelings of the heart. Furthermore, increase in faith, as mentioned in the ayah, does not mean increase in the quantity of faith, but rather it means increase in the quality of faith. The third attribute of a true Muslim described in the ayah is that they trust only and solely their Lord. That is, they give all of their matters in the trust of Allah Almighty. Except Him, they neither have any expectations from anyone nor fear from anyone. Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi ta'ala states that trust in Allah does not mean staying idle and giving up efforts as suggested by some ignorant people. In fact, trust in Allah means that man should use apparent means, but he should not trust those means wholeheartedly. Instead, he should have trust in help, favor, and support from Allah Azza wa Jalla. This has also been advised in a hadith. So that Anas radiallahu ta'ala stated, a person said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, should I have trust in Allah by tying my camel or leaving it untied? He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, tie it and then have trust. Describing the virtue of having trust in Allah. The beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, amongst my ummah, 70,000 people will enter paradise without accountability. These are the people who do not cast any magic spell and do not fly the sparrow for taking any omen. And these are the people who have trust in their Lord. The aforementioned, what we just about the three attributes, that is the fear at the time of remembrance of Allah, increase in faith at the time of recitation of the Holy Quran, and trust in Allah, are related to spirituality. Then two apparent deeds of a true believer is described. First, they establish salah, which means timely offering a fard salah along with the fulfillment of its condition and requirement. Second, they spend in the divine path. That is, they spend their wealth on where Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered them to spend. This includes giving out zakat, giving out charity, giving out sadaqah, and spending on all pious means. After mentioning of all these attributes, these individuals were declared to have been blessed with the title of true Muslim, for the reason that their faith is proved by their apparent character as well as their inner selves. Their hearts are adorned with such greatness as divine fear, sincerity, and trust in Allah, and their apparent body parts are busy performing ruku, sujood, and spending their wealth in the divine path. There are three rewards for the Muslims who have these five qualities. First, there are ranks for them in the court of their Lord Azza wa Jal. That is, they will have ranks in heaven, and some of them are superior to some others. Since the condition of Muslims are different in terms of adopting the above attributes, their rank will also be different in heaven for the same reason. Regarding ranks in heaven, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, heaven dwellers will see those living at high level places as you see the remaining shining stars in the east and west on the horizon at morning time. This is for the reason of difference in ranks amongst them. Blessed companions asked, O Prophet of Allah, will these be the houses of the Prophets alayhimu salatu wassalam, where no one except them will have any access? He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, no, by the one under whose power my life is, in those high level places, those men will live who believe in Allah and testify that Prophets alayhimu salatu wassalam are truthful. The second reward for true believers is forgiveness. That is, their sins will be forgiven. And the third reward for them is honorable sustenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for them in paradise. This has been called honorable sustenance because it will always be presented to them with respect and reverence without any hardship and effort. Allahu Akbar. O Allah Azza wa Jal, may our hearts be adorned with your fear, power of faith, and with trust in you. Make us steadfast in salah and the one who spends in your path. And by your grace, bestow upon us high ranks in Jannatul Firdaus, forgiveness without accountability, and honorable sustenance. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyin Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Quran, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, has mentioned these qualities, these attributes, and criteria to be successful because Allah and His beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam want us to be successful in this world and the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Undoubtedly, the believers reach their goals, those who totally humble themselves in their salah, and who do not incline towards vain talk, and those that work to pay zakah consistently, and those who protect their private parts. Allahu Akbar. This was the ayah from Quran, part 18, Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse number 1 through 5, and this translation was from translation of Kanzul Iman. These powerful words identify the hallmark of a truly successful believer. The first of these is praying salah with submission and humility. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Undoubtedly, the believers reach their goal. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who totally humble themselves in their salah. To submit in salah with humility is to obey the command of praying in its truest sense. Submission in salah invokes spiritual blessings, ensures that one's worship is accepted, prevents evil deeds, leads to forgiveness, draws one closer to Allah Almighty, and places the worshipper in the ranks of the righteous folk. Regarding the virtues of salah, the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, if a Muslim, upon reaching the time of an obligatory salah, performs the ablution of salah properly, and then submits and bows properly in it, that salah will expiate his previous sins until he commits a major sin, and this situation will continue forever. Observe the deeds of the best personalities of this ummah, that is the noble companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum in this regard. So then Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum has stated, when the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum offered salah, they would remain attentive towards it, keep their gaze on the place of prostration, be certain that Allah is watching them, and not pay attention to the left or the right. Allahu Akbar. Similarly, the incident of an Ansari companion is well known, that when he was guarding the Islamic army at night and started praying in order to stay awake, a polytheist approached and, realizing that he was the guard, fired 3 arrows, hitting the Ansari companion radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Even in this dire state, the companion continued to bow and prostrate in the same state. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers of Madani channel, the second quality of a true successful mu'min is وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِدُونَ, and who do not incline towards vain talk. Al-Sabi rahmatullahi ta'ala explained that vain talks, meaning lagh talk, refers to every undesirable or even permissible words and deeds which has no benefit for the Muslim in this world or the hereafter. What a great definition of vain talk. For example, wasting, indecent speech, play, amusement, wasting time in futile pursuits, remaining indulged in fulfilling lusts, and all those activities that Allah Almighty has forbidden. Beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, it is from the beauty of the person's faith that he gives up meaningless acts. People can engage in futile action with their tongue, through their behavior, and even with their hearts. The truly successful believers avoid all these type of futile acts. In this era, futile acts related to the tongue have spread rapidly. Through the mass proliferation of news about every minor and major incident in the world, and the constant bombardment of useless information across social media platforms, we have become desensitized to futility. Along with media outlets, the blame lies with news channels that host analysts of every caliber to share their often uninformed views about anything and everything. If one becomes accustomed to futile speech, the precaution of the tongue disappears, and backbiting becomes a part of daily life for such people. Even though backbiting is a major sin and destroys good deeds, such a person loses his dignity in the eyes of others, as they may assume that he might backbite them in front of others. Through mere words, speaking about useless matters can lead to hell and ruin one's deed, as the noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has warned. Indeed, a person may utter a bad word with his tongue without knowing the reality and implications of it. So on the basis of that, Allah Almighty writes down his displeasure for him till the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. One bad word can lead to displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. The noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that the person speaks a word leading to the displeasure of Allah and does not pay attention to it. That is, he does not have in his mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be displeased with him due to these words. The person falls into the depth of the hell, a distance greater than the East and the West. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, our pious predecessors were very cautious of vain and useless talk. It is narrated that Sayyidina Hassan bin Abi Sinan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh was passing by a balcony when he asked its owner how long it had been since he built it. Afterwards, he felt remorseful and addressing his self-nafs remarked and said, "Proud nafs, do you waste precious time in vain and useless questions?" He kept saum. He fasted for a whole year to atone for that one useless question. Allahu Akbar. Our behavior on the other hand, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, is that we constantly talk, we constantly ask useless questions, but yet we don't refrain from it. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, our actions are constantly involved in things that are not going to benefit us in this world or the hereafter. Watching worldly programs on TV, listening to one specific piece of news multiple times, listening to program on many channels for a single topic, listening to unbeneficial and political discussions, watching sports on TV, Facebook, Twitter, surfing the internet, and spending a lot of time using social media. We need to ask ourselves honestly whether these activities have anything to do with our life or not. Most have nothing to do with it. If a person spends 4 hours a day on these useless things, he will waste 1,460 hours of the year. And if he spends this many hours for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or success in the world, imagine the height he can reach. Understand that. Time can be used in three ways. Number one is vain acts. Number two is less beneficial acts. And number three is more beneficial acts. Every mindful being knows that the best of these three kinds of use is the one through which person can get more benefit. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, another quality that is mentioned in the first part of Surah Al-Mu'minun, part 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ, and those that work to pay zakat consistently. This refers to people who pay zakat on time with steadfastness, with a willing heart, considering it as an act of worship, fully submitting it to the divine command. Through zakat, we attain multiple types of success. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, paying zakat removes materialism from the heart, and materialism is the root of all evil. A strong desire to help the less fortunate grows in the heart of the one who pays zakat. Zakat is a practical measure to end poverty. Extreme disparity between the poor and the rich often leads to enmity between them. However, giving zakat to the poor creates gratitude and mutual understanding. Evil is removed from the one who pays zakat. Hence, the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, "Whosoever paid the zakat due on his wealth, indeed Allah Almighty has removed evil from him." Paying zakat prompts divine mercy to descend, whereas not paying zakat prevents the descent of divine mercy. Hence, it is stated in a hadith, when people stop paying zakat, Allah Almighty halts the rain. And if there was no creature on the earth, not even a single drop of water would fall from the skies. Allahu Akbar. Some commentators have interpreted that the word zakat in the aforementioned verse as self-purification, tazkiyah, implying that the successful believer is someone who purges his inner materialism, arrogance, ostentation, malice, envy, and other negative qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding this self-purification, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. Translation from Kanzul Iman, indeed, successful is the one who made it pure, and unsuccessful is the one who covered it in sins. The one who purifies his heart and soul will attain the ultimate success, salvation in the hereafter, and a place in paradise. The rewards are reserved for people with pure and sound hearts. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the fourth quality of a successful mu'min, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ, and those who protect their private parts. This quality is linked to modesty and chastity, both of which are core values of Islam. The connection between modesty and success in the hereafter is very clear. For the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, "The one who guarantees me he will not utilize that which is between his jaws and his legs, that is his tongue and private parts, in an impermissible manner, I guarantee paradise for him." My dear viewers of Madani channel, what is the worldly benefit of avoiding immodesty? History is witness to this universal truth. The consequences of illicit physical relations are catastrophic, leading to the destruction of the family unit and the very fabric of the society. Adultery is fatal to marriage and precious family relationships and eliminates regard for the sanctity of people. Those who engage in immodest behavior are harassed with blackmailing on many occasions, and money is wasted in this way too. A person will face embarrassment in the presence of his family. If an immodest person happens to be a Muslim, then there is no chance of him feeling any sweetness in worship. Inappropriate thoughts constantly race through the minds of an immodest person, ruining his sleep, peace, and time. Such people waste hours on immodest conversations, engaging in immodest acts, and then acquiring diseases. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers of Madani channel, if we want to lead a successful life, both in this dunya and the hereafter, if we want to be a true successful mu'min, then we need to make Quran, the words of Quran, as a guiding principle. The words of Hadith, use them as a guiding principle. Whatever Quran says, we need to act upon it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a true Muslim, a true devotee of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Help us adopt these qualities of successful mu'min. Keep us steadfast on Iman and make us enter Jannatul Firdaus without accountability, and provide us a place in the neighborhood of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyin ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Oh, from my heart, take my hand.